This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. During this holiday period, conflicts between the administration and Congress are suspended, but not for very long. Maybe the most consequential is the struggle over an emergency spending bill that congressional Democrats have made hostage to some kind of timetable for withdrawal of troops from Iraq. NPR senior news analyst Dan Shore joins us. Hello, Dan.
Hi, Scott.
And Dan, the president says he's going to veto the spending bill because of the timetables. The question, obviously, what happens after the veto and what are some of the time pressures they're looking at?
Well, after the veto, I take it there will be some kind of negotiation, although how you can manage to marry a position which is you must bring the troops home and the other that you can't have any kind of timetable to bring the troops home, I don't immediately see how they do that, but they've done it before.
There's some disagreement, too, isn't there, as to what date both sides are looking at it as to when the support of U.S. troops in the field would be affected.
Well, the president, President Bush, has said that April 15th, they ran out of money for the Afghanistan war and the war in Iraq. Since that time, it's been indicated that not quite the 15th of April, could be later, could be maybe as late as June if they transfer money from other programs. But they'll be under pressure.
Another conflict is playing itself out. The Senate investigation and the firing of eight U.S. attorneys, replaced by eight interim appointments. And because of a provision in the USA Patriot Act, they don't have to be confirmed by the Senate. Is that correct?
That is correct. They're in place. They have not been confirmed. They don't have to be confirmed because it's supposed to be an interim appointment. An interim can last forever. That was snuck into the Patriot Act. And so you can't get rid of them unless somebody says they should resign.
So what happens now? What's the next installment of this dispute?
Next installment is that they want Attorney General Gonzalez to explain to them how that all happened, that they fired eight people for no apparently not very good reason. And now they want to have him come up and explain all of that. First of all, submit a big paper telling about it. Meanwhile, this thing is getting to be a little more dicey because you now have Monica Goodling, who has taken the Fifth Amendment, who is
She hasn't appeared yet, so she hasn't taken the Fifth Amendment yet. She indicated that if she did appear, she would take the Fifth Amendment.
Yes, if called, she would invoke the Fifth Amendment. Now she has resigned from her job as well, and so, you know, the thing bubbles on.
The administration says, look, this is much ado about nothing. These are appointments we have the power to make and positions we have the power to dispose of.
Right.
What happens from here?
Sitting here, you can't see where it's going to come out. If the country is going to continue working and the government is going to continue working, at some point they have to say, we will compromise. We'll do this but not that, and you can claim victory, and we can claim victory. But when you ask me in this situation what I think will happen, you have me. I can't tell.
Speaker Nancy Pelosi has been in Syria and Saudi Arabia, met with President Assad. President Bush at a press conference referred to that visit as counterproductive and noted that Syria is still listed as a state supporting terrorism. Speaker Pelosi's delegation included one Republican congressman.
That's right. While there's been a lot of criticism from the president, apparently there isn't much they can do about it. Now, it is true that there is in the statute book there was an act called the Logan Act, passed in 1799, which forbids anybody except those who work in the administration to conduct foreign relations for the United States. And so somebody said, didn't she violate that? But I don't think they're going to do very much about it, and life goes on.
Interesting ruling this week from the Supreme Court that held that the Environmental Protection Agency has the authority to regulate heat-trapping gases. Now, President Bush had said that he considers the measures already taken are sufficient.
That is really quite remarkable, considering that only two members of the Supreme Court were not appointed by Republicans. You think they would support the president. Instead, they're telling him, when it comes to emissions of this sort, the EPA has, and by implication, should use that right to do something about that. It's very interesting. There's going to be fights now with the states. There's going to be fights now with environmental groups. But the government is now officially on the side of the environmentalists.
First quarter money raised in the presidential sweepstakes were published this week. And a bit surprisingly for some, Senator Barack Obama came close to matching Senator Hillary Clinton almost dollar for dollar. He raised $25 million. Senator Clinton raised $26 million. On the Republican side, Mitt Romney surprised a lot of people, former governor of Michigan, by finishing first, and John McCain finished third.
Actually quite amazing that the two were not front runners, turned out to be front runners when it comes to raising money. And if you said the one who raises the most money should get the nomination, I'm not sure what would happen.
Finally this week, Ford Motor Company announced that it had paid its new chief executive, Alan Mulally, more than $28 million in 2006.
Right.
He only worked the last 4 months of the year.
Right. And so what is it you want to know? Whether it's...
I'd like to know if my name was on the short list or if it's too late to throw it in, but let's assume it wasn't. I don't even have a driver's license, much less can I make a car.
Ford lost $12.7 billion in the past year. Imagine how much this guy would get if Ford made some money.
Thanks very much. Senior news analyst Dan Shore.
Sure.